Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's edition of the Gospel Truth broadcast. Today, I'm into the middle of my third week teaching on a subject I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And I tell you, this is a teaching that has just totally transformed my life. It really answered so many things for me. I was talking to someone at lunch, and they were saying that they believe that this is like, the uniqueness of my ministry is to balance grace and faith. It seems like most people either emphasize grace or faith, but very seldom do they put them together. And it's this balance, the tension between these two, that really releases the power of God. If all you do is emphasize the grace of God, it leads you to passiveness, to where it's just all up to God and you have nothing to do with it. If all you do is emphasize faith, it leads you to a place where you get worn out. You are the one that is responsible for doing everything, and it makes you a legalist, makes you a Pharisee. But when you combine the two together, it really releases the power of God. Just like the verse that I started with, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And it's God's grace. That's what He's done for us, independent of us. It has nothing to do with us. That's grace. Through faith. Faith is our positive response to God. It's not things that we do to gain a response, but it's our positive response to God, and it appropriates what has already been provided by grace. And I tell you, if you can understand this, it'd just change everything. This week, I've been talking about that grace is a done deal. That's the title of our third teaching in this series, and I've been making the point out of John chapter 1 that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God poured His grace out on the earth through Jesus, and that happened 2,000 years ago before you and I existed. Therefore, it had nothing to do with our goodness or badness, and God anticipated everything that we would ever need, and He already supplied it. All salvation comes through what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. You don't repent today and have God die for you and forgive your sins. They were already forgiven. But that doesn't mean that you were the beneficiary of it, because you have to put faith in it. You know, here's a verse that I've referred to a number of times, but I don't think I've turned over there and read it. So let me just turn over here. This is in Romans chapter 5. And if you are familiar with it, the first four chapters of the book of Romans, Paul has just been making his point that we are justified in the sight of God, not through what we do, but what God did for us. And we can't trust in our own goodness. And he's been making this point over and over and over. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." The only way you can access God's grace is through faith. You know, the word that was used for access here is a Greek word, and it's the word that we literally get our word admission from. Like if you go to a movie theater or anything where they have an admission fee, you have to pay that fee, and that's how you gain admission to that movie or to whatever it is. Faith is what grants us admission to God's grace. You know, let's just use the example of like a movie. If a movie was playing, that movie would be playing, and it would be playing whether or not you went inside or not. It's still there, but you don't benefit from watching that movie unless you can pay the admission price and go in and sit down and watch it. But it'd still play even if you were outside. Likewise, God, by grace, has already provided everything that we need. He's already given us forgiveness of sins, healing of our body, prosperity, joy, peace. All of these things are already done. These are not things that are yet to be determined. They've already been done by God. And it's like the movie's playing, but are you going to go in and participate? Are you going to get the benefit of it, or are you going to stand out and miss out? How is it that you gain access to this? you gain access through faith into this grace. God has already done everything 2,000 years ago before you or I existed, so it has nothing to do with you deserving it. But does that mean it just automatically works? No, you have to, by faith, access it. Like, for instance, when it comes to forgiveness of sins, your sins have already been forgiven. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and He's already granted it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says that He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus has already forgiven our sins. But that doesn't mean that you are automatically born again. It doesn't mean that you're automatically granted access to heaven. Because even though the payment has been made, even though sins have been forgiven, you have to access that grace. You have to participate, draw on what Jesus has done by faith. And a person who just says, oh, well, I agree. I believe that Jesus did it. But then there is no action to it. This is what James talked about in James chapter 2, where it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You've got to act on your faith. It can't be just mental assent, just an acknowledgement that, oh, yeah, I believe that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Well, that is true. And by grace, He did that. And by grace, your sins have been forgiven. But you have to access everything that God provided through faith. And if it's true faith, there will be some action. If you could imagine right now that we were all in a room together, and if I came in and said, the building's on fire, and we're all going to die unless we get out of here. If you really believed what I said, it is inconceivable that a person would believe that report and just sit there and say, oh, I believe Andrew. I believe that we're all going to die. And so you just sit there. You know, if you really believe something like that, there would be actions. Now, there could be a difference of actions. Some people might faint. Some people might scream. Some people might panic and hurt themselves trying to get out. Some other people might try and put the fire out. There could be different reaction. But if you really believe something, you act on it. A person who says, oh yeah, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but then all of their actions are contrary to that, and they live like they don't believe in God, like there is no God, well then they can say what they want to, but their actions show what you really believe. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. The way that you think in your heart is the way that your life is going. You can have a momentary lapse, you can make a mistake, you could be deceived, you can be coerced, pressured into doing something, but as a general rule, the way that your life is going is what you believe. And a person whose life is completely contrary to God and is acting like they hate God, that's because that's what they really believe, regardless of what they say. So my point is that by grace, God has already provided everything, but you have to partake of that, reach out and appropriate what God has provided by grace through faith. And that faith will have actions. So are these actions what produced your salvation? No. And again, I said this before. I can't explain this to you adequately. At least I can't. Maybe somebody else can. But I can argue you into seeing that healing is in the atonement, that prosperity is there and things like this. But when it comes to this grace, I've talked to people till I'm blue in the face and people just miss it. It has to come by revelation. You just can't get this. I was talking to some people that are here in the studio, and it's kind of like one of those pictures that I don't know what the proper name for it is, but it kind of like has a geometric pattern on it. And when you look at it, you just first of all see this pattern, and that's all that you see. But if you'll stare at it, there is a hidden image on the inside. Like one of them I remember that I've seen was like a dinosaur was inside of there. Another one, it had a bird in flight. And you can look at it at first, and you can't see any of that. But if you stare at it, then this three-dimensional image comes out. And once you see it, then you can always see it. You can always pick it back out. But I've actually tried to show this to other people. We were looking at the exact same thing, and I could see this image inside of the picture, and other people looking at the exact same thing, and all they could see was just the thing on the surface. And it's kind of this way with the grace of God. This illustration that I just used, a person confesses the word by stripes, that they are saved by putting faith in a Savior. They believe that they're saved. And then they start acting. They start going to church. They start paying their tithes. They start living a life that is consistent with faith. Faith without works is dead. So if it's true faith, it will start changing your behavior. Well, some people look at that and see the change in behavior, and they think that is what produces salvation. Because they are now doing these things and living holy, this is why God saves them. But the truth is, it's exactly the opposite. God had already released His salvation towards them by grace before they were ever born, before they ever sinned. God had already dealt with their sins and forgiven it. And they heard this and they believe. They put faith in what God did, and then their actions are a byproduct of faith. It's not things that they did to get God to save them. It was things that they did in response to the good news that God had saved them. Again, some people only look at the physical part and they see the change and they said, well, this person has done this and this and this, and therefore that's what caused God to move in their life. You know, here's another example that'll help make this clear. But some of you have heard me talk about my son who was raised from the dead. And my wife and I were woken up at 4:15 in the morning. My oldest son, Joshua, called and said, Dad, I'm sorry, but Peter is dead. It's 4:15 in the morning. And so I asked him what happened. I said, don't let anybody touch him. I said, the first report's not the last report. And my wife and I had to get up and get dressed, and it takes us an hour to drive into Colorado Springs. So we got dressed, drove into Colorado Springs, and on the way in, I started having feelings of discouragement, fear, grief, sorrow, anything that anybody would have if you had heard that your son had died. But in the midst of that, I just didn't want it. I know that the Scripture says that we should rejoice in the Lord always, that praise is strength to still the enemy and the avenger and many other things. And so I just decided I was going to praise God. I didn't feel like praising God, but I was going to praise God because I knew the power of praise. And so I just started praising God and thanking Him and saying, Father, I thank You that this is not Your fault. You didn't cause this. You didn't kill my son. I told Him that regardless of what happens, whether Peter comes back from the dead or not, I was going to love him. He was not responsible. And I just started praising God. And you know, as soon as I started doing that, God just reminded me of prophecies about that boy that had not come to pass. And I knew that these prophecies were from God. One of them was over in Ireland. One of them was in California by people who had never seen my son, didn't even know that I had a son, and came up and started prophesying to me about my two boys and saying things. I just knew it was God. And I have clung on to those prophecies that these things are coming to pass. And when I started praising God, immediately I started thinking, I know that those prophecies were from God. They were God-inspired because there was details that the person could not have known. And if this was God who prophesied these things, well, they hadn't come to pass. And so my lightning fast mind just figured out that it was God's will for Peter to be raised from the dead, even though he had been dead for four hours or something at that time. And I just immediately started rejoicing. And what I'm trying to do is illustrate that when I started praising God, God reminded me of the prophecies that caused faith in my heart, and I started rejoicing. And I told Jamie, I said, this is going to be the greatest thing we've ever seen. And you know what? Some people would think, well, all right, so when you did this, when you praised God, and when you remembered this, and when you started thanking God, and you spoke your faith and confessed to your wife that your son was going to be raised from the dead, when you did these things, then God did this. But no, that is not right. Actually, if you were to go by the timeline when we got there, I found out that within 5 or 10 minutes after the time that I got the call from my oldest son telling me that Peter was dead, within 5 or 10 minutes, Peter had been stripped naked, put on a slab in a morgue, in a cooler, with a toe tag on, which they don't do that. They don't put you in the morgue on a slab in a cooler unless you're dead. And within 5 or 10 minutes of me getting that call, Peter just sat up and started talking. And all of a sudden, they went back and started working on him and dealing with things. So the timeline is that while Jamie and I were just getting up and we were trying to put on our clothes and get ready to leave, and probably 15, 20, or 30 minutes before I started rejoicing and praising God, Peter was already raised from the dead. Now, Jamie and I had already agreed. We joined hands and we prayed and we called him back to life. But when I started rejoicing and doing these things is not what caused this miracle. God already had a plan. We had agreed with it. We put ourselves in faith. We spoke in faith instead of fear. And we did cooperate and access God's grace. But I'm using all of this to show that God didn't wait and respond to me. But when I started praising God, and then I got the remembrance of these prophecies, that was my faith in response to what I believed God had already done. I believe that God had already commanded my son to come back from the dead. I'd already spoken. He spoke it through me. It is true, Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He has to flow through people. God doesn't operate independent of people. And so I did speak my faith, and we did use our authority, and we did command Peter to come back from the dead. So I'm not saying that I wasn't involved in it. There was an involvement, but it would be wrong for you to look at my actions and think that these actions caused God to raise my son from the dead. No, it was God's will that my son come back, but His will doesn't automatically come to pass. I agreed with Him, and it was just that simple faith in what I believed God's will already was that caused this miracle. I pray that you're tracking with me and understanding what I'm saying. See, some people who only look at the physical, they see somebody who's got a miracle in their life, somebody who's living in victory, and they say, "All right, what did you do to make this happen?" And they go back and they see people that have fasted and prayed and study the Word, and they do this and they look and they analyze. And so they just come along and they duplicate the actions. But their mindset the whole time is that if I do this, now this is what this other person did, and if I do this, well, then God's got to come through for me the way that He did for somebody else. And see, that's not faith. That's works. That's law. That's performance. You believe that God is responding to your goodness. That is the opposite of what I'm teaching. Again, going back to that picture, you're looking at just the surface level. You're only seeing the actions, and you are thinking that these actions are causing God to react to us. But if a person is really operating in faith, their actions are just a byproduct of what they are believing God has already done and provided through grace. Everything that God wants to accomplish in your life, it's already been purchased and provided for through what Jesus did. God has a purpose for every single person's life watching this program. He created you with a purpose. And it's not a matter of you going out and doing your own thing and you getting educated and then you leaning on your own understanding and you do something and then you go to God and ask God to bless what you're doing. That is a recipe for disaster. What you need to do is find out is what did God make you for? What is God's purpose? You find out what His will for your life is, and I can guarantee you there is already a grace that was released 2,000 years ago when Jesus came to this earth that has given you gifts, talents, abilities, anointing, wisdom, everything that it takes, favor with people. Anything that you need is already been placed on the inside of you when you got born again. It's already there. And all you've got to do is find out what God's grace has provided for you. And then you just believe it. And when you truly believe it, there will be corresponding actions. Let's say, for instance, in my place that God revealed to me that He wanted me to be in the ministry, that He called me to teach. And when I believe that, I started seeking the Lord how to use this gift of teaching. I began to start taking whatever opportunities I had. I taught Bible studies for a while. I worked in churches. I've pastored 3 churches. Eventually, I found out that God wanted me to travel and be on radio and television. And over the years, I've grown. But all of these things aren't things that I do trying to get God to bless me. They are things that I'm doing in response to what I believe God's grace has already provided. God called me to what I'm doing. He gave me an anointing to be a teacher. And if I would say, for instance, I wanted to be an evangelist, and I just wanted to go out and my thing was to get people born again. But if God called me to be a teacher, I'll never be as effective as an evangelist as I would as a teacher. And that is really, really simple. See, my whole life, I am not doing these things trying to get God to bless me. But I'm doing these things. My faith is a response to what God has already provided by grace, what He's revealed to me that is in His grace, what He's put on the inside of me. And I'm just cooperating and responding to Him. And because of it, God is blessing my life and people's lives are being changed and good things are happening. I really believe that there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who are called to be like a teacher, a traveling ministry, or an evangelist, or an apostle, and yet they are being a pastor because there's security in that, because there's a guaranteed income in that. And for whatever reason, they are doing their own thing and they're trying to get God to bless it. And they think, well, I'm in faith, and so I'm just going to believe God. You can use faith all you want to, but if God's grace has provided being a teacher or an evangelist, you are not going to succeed as a pastor the way that you would if you were to follow through with what God has already done. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. Faith is not something we do to force God to do what we want Him to do. I tell you, that has changed my life, and it's simplified it. It brings the whole Christianity down to just one simple thing, and that's relationship with God. And you do that, of course, through the Word of God, but you just get into relationship with God, you commune with Him, and when God tells you to do something, if He told you to do it, then He, by grace, has already provided that. It's independent of you, and you just follow through, and you respond accordingly to what He's doing. You know, I go back to this example again about we're building a campus for our Charis Bible College, and it is a huge multi-million dollar project. But I'm not asking God, oh God, please give me the money. Oh God, please do this. Oh God, please help me to build this. I pray that it would glorify You. I'm not trying to get God to do anything. I believe that this is what God has revealed to me. And I would actually, if I wasn't doing this, if I wasn't taking these steps of faith, I'd be in unbelief. I'd be letting fear stop me. I'd be letting being overwhelmed by all how much money it's going to cost. And those things would paralyze me and keep me from operating in faith. That would be unbelief, and that would stop God's grace that He's already provided and what His will for me is from coming to pass. But instead, I'm just cooperating. I'm taking these things as a result of what God is telling me to do, not trying to get God to bless me. And I pray that this has helped you. I pray that that the Holy Spirit is helping you to see this picture inside of the picture, to get a real revelation of grace. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how to get this teaching. And remember, today is my last day to give you the third teaching in this 5-part set. And this teaching is entitled, Grace, a Done Deal.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
Today is my last day to make this third teaching in our set available to you as a gift. We offer the album for a donation of any amount. because I'm aware that sometimes people can't, send in the full amount. So if you send anything, we'll send you this album. But we do request something for the entire five-part series. But sometimes the people who are the most needy and need this teaching the most are the least able to afford it. I know I've been there. And so my partners have enabled me to give away these teachings one at a time as a gift if you simply cannot afford it. And today is my last day to offer you the third teaching in this five-part series as a gift. So listen to our announcer and then respond today and receive this teaching.
The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled Grace, a Done Deal, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Warwick, England next week for the Andrew Womack Ministries of Europe Ministers Conference, October 24th through the 26th, in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, and in Phoenix, Arizona, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted, one hip was crushed, and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies and take a healing journey with Ken and Virginia Wood.